Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ah-ha-ha-ha.
Welcome to Bit Season Episode 10. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm AWOD.
AWOD, back to the producer role this week.
Yeah, AWOD in the third mic chair.
You know what? I thought I did pretty good last week, and Ab, I was proud
of
it.
You did a very good job filling in, but I am elated that Drab is back.
Yeah, you're all giggly. It's tilting.
I'm smiling. But yeah, last week was a disaster.
Valdez works out every day. He told me that he hasn't done that much lifting in his entire life as he did last Thursday.
You're only supposed to do max outs like once a month. I think I'm done maxing out for the year after that lift.
You had to take the weekend off.
I had to take the weekend off. Actually, I wore a back brace.
You know, I got a DM from someone and said, "Who's Drab?" I was better than Drabby.
Hey, maybe.
I didn't know your sister was on Twitter.
No, I said it was fine. People said that they enjoyed the show. I appreciate the people that were worried that I was sick or something.
Yes, I'm glad you're feeling better. And more importantly, I'm glad that we can share the load for this week.
Well, I thought about coming in on Friday morning to show everyone what a trooper I am and how dedicated I am to the show.
You know what would have been great is if you called out sick for the show, and then you showed up at 10:01 to record mid-season.
I actually thought about that because on Friday morning, I was feeling a lot better. Mm-hmm. I just had to make the decision Thursday night because our show's so early.
You got to find someone to fill in.
I felt terrible on Thursday night. But Friday morning, I was like, man, it's only 9:30. I could go in there for mid-season. I did think about it.
That would have been hysterical. What do you think EB would have said if you just came strolling in with your big smile? Write it with your notes.
Yeah, he would have definitely been Rick about it and taken some shots at us. But they already don't like bit season.
Yeah, the bloom is coming off the rose
rapidly.
So much. But I was pissed off that you weren't there because AWOD did a good job. Okay.
Well, he's a weekend host on the station.
I know. It's not like he doesn't know how to do radio, but I like bouncing my ideas off of you a little better. You have the more bounce. More feedback. We pass the rock a little better since we do it for 4 hours during the junkie show. Me and AWOD, we don't have that kind of relationship, that rapport. So, you know, when we're in transition, passing the rock back and forth, it looks sloppy.
Yeah, but there wasn't like much dead air or anything. I mean, I think it was a smooth
except
show.
Except for when the recording stopped.
Yeah, that's what another
happened?
Thing.
What well, happened?
You're gone. Everything goes to S. The ghost of Drabby came in to ruin everything.
I did find out what happened. Somebody logged in from home on that computer and stopped the recording on accident.
So then we had to use the backup audio that AWOD had on his phone, and it sounded like we're broadcasting out of tin cans.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
it's just everything went to crap.
You'll find out if you guys ever do podcasts, if you're listening. It ain't easy. A lot can go wrong.
But you should have seen Valdez's face when he walked back in here to tell me that it didn't record. He looked like somebody had just murdered his brother.
I could bet.
He said, "I've never been this upset in my life."
That's a good Valdez impression.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good to be back. I thought it was a pretty good week on the show. Some non-sports are kicked around every single day. I know Adam caught up and listened to most of the show this week. And I think that one of the things that stood out to me, because Adam was talked about a lot earlier this week on our big single men don't like to have sex topic.
Right. Isn't it kind of flattering that the guys just, oh, they always think about you, even though you're not there?
I woke up after 10 a.m. to a bunch of texts. They were like, man, why didn't you call into the Junkies? Hour two is all about you.
Well, actually, it started on, I think, Tuesday night. This kind of might be my tilt of the week, is that JP, he'll send articles sometimes, which is great. It's not about that. Is that he now is scouring the New York Post, which is Valdez and I's homepage. Like, we love the New York Post. We don't miss a story on there.
I see every single thing the New York Post tweets.
Because it's like their content in our show are very simpatico.
Yeah, it's actually the person that runs their website. Has to be former radio.
Yeah, I think so. They know what hits.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was a story in there about single men don't like sex anymore, and JP emailed it over the night before, and actually in his description said, maybe we could get AWOD on to discuss it.
Oh, really?
Yes, but I didn't really want to do that. Valdez didn't really want to do that because you're too often the fallback for, like, you're just the resident.
Anyone that's single.
Single guy that doesn't have, you know what I mean? They, like, want to talk about their dating life. I wanted to hear what the callers thought about it more. Because I know, and we did have a bunch of people called in.
Yeah, AWOD has an inability to have sex. We want to hear from callers that can have sex but choose not to.
They're choosing not to, yeah.
Right. It's by choice.
Yeah. Well, what did you make of that article, Adam, or that column that's saying that because of the pandemic, the guys picked up other hobbies and that's why they're not interested in women anymore?
I do agree with the other hobbies thing. I don't think that has anything to do with the sex. Like, quarantine just made life boring for a lot of people. Like, I went listening to Audible, but that's not stopping me from having sex. Like,
wait. Your new hobby is listening to Audible?
Oh yeah, I've been going through books left and right. I'm trying to increase my knowledge.
Hold on, let me hear some of these books that you're fake reading.
Yeah. I did Prisoners of Geography. It was a silly book. Tim Marshall, about like breaking down borders around the world. I did a John Feinstein book. I did a bunch of others. They're not really coming to my mind right now, but
I got a problem with audiobooks.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, like, keep your mind sharp by consuming the information and putting in the effort in reading. It's a laborious process, and people are taking shortcuts with these piped in audio. Well, and then tell everyone they love books. No, you love books if you go to the bookstore, the library, the smell of the book. You know,
you want a physical book,
right?
But I'm Team AWOD. I have Audible too, and I listen to audiobooks.
I think you don't consume it that way, though.
Well, I also don't retain it. Well, no. Well, I also don't go prancing around saying I just read this book on geography. I don't do that.
No,
but half the reason why AWOD does that is so that he can say I read X, I read Y, and so people think he's smart by reciting that.
Because I know what you guys are doing. To read a book, you have to use your spare time at home. Instead of, you know, playing video games or watching sports, you got to get into your bed with a reading light and use that time to dedicate it to a book. You guys are listening to books on your way home from work.
Of course.
Okay? You're doing two things at once.
I've said this before. I like listening to audiobooks while I work out.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Taking a shortcut.
I like to exercise my muscles and my brain simultaneously.
I see. I don't know how you do that. For me to lift anything or do any cardio, I need like 700 beats per second.
Yeah,
I
don't need Slipknot. I need a Tom Clancy book.
Right. Okay.
But for a person that's hating on Audible and listening, when was the last time you actually opened a book, Drab?
I started reading a book recently.
What's it called?
It's from Michael Hawley. It was a book that was sent to the radio station about the Boston Celtics championship run in the early 2000s.
Any knowledge you want to share with us?
It's not that interesting for us. But for me, it was. I like hearing about the hiring process of Danny Ainge. Right?
That sounds like melatonin.
That's my book right now.
What do you think about the book bit that we wanted to do last week? I don't know if you heard, but in the last episode with JP's book, speaking of books, that we want people to show off them pooping with it.
Still pooping.
Still pooping. I heard about the hashtag still pooping.
Yes. If there's any kind of momentum.
I think there was.
Drawers by your ankles.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, You talked to me a lot this week about if you were too hard on JP.
Oh, yeah.
So you were pretty concerned about it. Did you hear back from a lot of listeners that...
Well, like I told
EB
you.
Said.
Well, I knew the playbook that was going to happen after the episode is that all the listeners would go run and tell mommy and daddy.
Right.
Which are the junks in our
it's
case.
So tilting to us. And yeah. You know who you are.
Yes. But they just run to them, make up something, or take something out of context to try and have us get our spanking.
Do you understand, listeners, that there's a guy out there on Twitter who is coming up with fake quotes on the show, stuff that we never said or even got into, and is tweeting the junkies that's what we said about him?
The problem is the junkies are too lazy to go listen to this show, so they'll never hear it to begin with.
But here's what's also great. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care about your tweets or what you're trying to antagonize them with.
But they do want us to get spanked by mommy and daddy, meaning the junkies.
Yeah, they like it when AWOG gets yelled at about saying crap about Jason's daughter. They want they wanted JP to blow up at me about the book. But the first thing I said on Monday, since JP wasn't here on Monday, and when Eric walked in, was, "Hey, was I too? You listened to Bit Season? Yeah. Was I too hard?" And he kind of shrugged it off. He didn't really think I was that hard.
Well, I never got to talk about JP's book. I heard some of the show last week.
That was another thing that ricked me about you not being here, is that I put all my feelings out on the line, and I went out on the edge and put myself out there and was critical. I was the first one to be critical.
I know,
about
the other guys.
And I needed you. I needed my partner in crime to be critical with me.
I probably it would have been easier if I was there with
you. Yeah, I know.
You're saying,
trust me, it was a hard show to do with AWOD.
I will say this
was when I'm sitting there taking a dump on JP's Second Life project.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm very happy for JP. He worked extremely hard on that. I mean, so much harder than you would ever even think it takes to write a book. Like, he was extremely dedicated. All the information that he saved for the last 25 years actually turned out useful. Because if you guys don't know, he's got binders and full of crap at his house, full of ratings.
He looks like a hoarder.
He's literally a junkie's hoarder. That's the only thing he hoards is junkie's information.
Yeah, he has one shirt in, one shirt out. He would never do that with news clippings.
So he worked very hard on that book. He interviewed dozens and dozens of people.
So many people. Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough probably to get in contact with some of these people, but the fact that he found them, found their information.
I mean, he was contacting... like irrelevant people in junkies history, like interns and just, you know, people that like really didn't have an impact on the show, but it was important to him to
producers
get the full
story. Who had like a cup of coffee with the show, like, you know, we're here for 2 years.
I don't think we're in the book that much.
Not that much, but there's some
like
stuff
Adam,
about
Adam was. Adam was on the show, and I haven't seen the book, so I've seen chapters of the book, but like Adam was on the show for 5 years, and Adam asked if he was in the book, and he said, well, there's some stuff about you in the Bits and Skits chapter. Meanwhile, he's like doing full interviews. Did you ever get interviewed by JP?
No, that was part of my
He
mentioned
tilt.
That on the thing. That's why he was tilted, is that he never got an interview.
He just sent me a couple texts and had me respond.
Like, he interviewed Tom C. Block, who was an intern 20 years ago that hasn't been heard from since, right? So JP does have an obsession with old stuff from the junkies in the early years. I don't think the last few years of the junkies has gotten a lot of run in that book.
But I was the first one critical of the book, and I gave my piece, but it just means that everyone goes and tells JP that I'm bad-mouthing him, bad-mouthing the book, and then everyone has to tell me how I'm not untalented. Why am I crapping on JP's talent? I'm untalented.
I got a DM. That kind of tilted me. Like, you could never write a book. I could die, and I don't need to have author in my resume at all, and I'd be happy.
Well, anybody can write a book.
Yeah.
It's whether or not, I mean, JP is self-publishing this book, but there's plenty of donks who write books, and they put them up on Amazon as e-books or whatever. I have no interest in that. It's watching JP do it sounds awful. And my very first actually introduction to JP was I moved to DC right after Chasing Rocky came out. And there was, all I remember is the big hoopla about Cakes refusing to read the book.
Oh, yeah, that was mentioned as well.
Yeah, Will Cakes and Cake. I know Cakes is worried that people are going to say Cakes didn't read it or bringing up that old drama and harassing him about it. I'm sure he'll read it this time, especially because it's more about the junkies' history, or he'll check it out at least.
He'll read the Cakes chapter.
Yeah, so I'm excited for JP. I know like how hard he worked and what a big deal this is to him.
Yeah.
I can't believe for the life of me, and I know this was discussed last week, he put it into the top five moments in Jackie's history.
Yeah, that was another thing.
Like, it actually makes me angry. and no offense to JP, it's not in the top 100. it's in JP's top five because it's JP's book about the show and what's important to him.
I would actually put JP's first book ahead of this book,
of course,
because the first book is like the first accomplishment of it.
It doesn't even make sense to say it's in the top five.
Look, he's just trying to hype it up. No, I understand.
Maybe it's his top five. It's not the listener's top five. This has, you know, not as big of an impact on the listeners, I don't think. There's been incredible moments in the show history.
Trust me, I had people that were texting me or DMing me. And
I almost fell out of my chair when he said it.
And then they're like, dude, what's going on with the Junks? Are they getting their TV show? Are they going to be...
Oh, when he teased it as the top five, yeah.
Are they going to be syndicated nationally?
Oh, yeah, TV show, syndication. I mean, all those things have happened in just the past few years. Outrageous ratings, big moments of the show, awesome things that have happened. You know, being on CNN live while we're doing an interview.
Yeah.
And that's just in the Drabin Valdez era.
I thought it was funny. I saw a comment as soon as he started like tearing up when he was reading it that someone thought he was stepping away from the show.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, it's just the way he set it up. He's very, you know, obviously his mom's death has had a huge impact on him, and he's connecting a lot of things in his life to his mom right now.
This is what I don't like is that everyone wants us to open up and shed some light on things and talk about back office politics and all this, you know, hoopla. And we finally are not being muzzled and we give our honest opinion about stuff and people don't get sized.
Well, I think a lot of people do. I think it's the loud minority of people that are causing trouble, or they just want...
They're just troublemakers.
They're troublemakers.
Stop being a troublemaker.
It's fine. It's fine. You like, whatever you get from the show,
JP,
is fine
but
with
JP, me and JP
he didn't
are fine.
Care,
he doesn't
JP
care.
He kept saying any publicity is good publicity.
I know. That's what was tilting me is that because I knew right from the start until I had to say something that JP actually thought I was bad-mouthing his book and you know what I mean? So that's why he was saying that any publicity is good publicity. And there's weird.
What is your chapter called?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I don't. It's in my email.
All right. My chapter is called Drab is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. That's a silly title.
Or when Drab joins the show. So I do have a chapter. I don't know how many chapters there are in this book, but there is a chapter.
There's
dedicated
like 31 chapters.
I like it. I got a chapter. I don't know if I mentioned outside the chapter, but.
Do you know what it's like? Is that. When you're in science class and they try to tell you like the history of the planet Earth and everything, and they have this whole timeline where they talk about, when the Pangea and how the continents were shaped.
Okay.
All right. And then they have like that brief blip or about how dinosaurs were here. And then they show that tiny little thing of man. All right. And they say man has been on this earth 2% of the time that it's been alive. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about us as producers with JP's book.
Hey, that was a long way to get there, but I like it. Right. I like it. All right. Getting back to the topic of the week, the single men don't like to have sex. Yes. Adam, are you noticing that amongst your friends that guys are less on the prowl than they used to be 2 years ago or 5 years ago?
I think guys are definitely less going out, for sure. I think like my friends are spending more nights,
but you're also
playing
poker older.
Or doing other video games and stuff like that.
I would assume that Clarendon's packed with 21-year-old guys still.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So you're 29 this year?
Yeah, but
turning 29 December, yeah.
Yeah, but going out may not equate to having sex. Because you can have sex by just swiping whatever app that you're using. So just because you're going out doesn't necessarily mean.
Well, you got to. I mean, most people got to take the woman out. She's not just going to come over to your house unless you look like Fabio in your profile next year. I have an older reference.
No, I mean, I think we're bouncing back. I think the pandemic, it's starting to get to the point where the bars are actually packed again.
Hey, how does it feel that when the Junks hear sexless, they immediately think of you?
It's depressing, but it also it's like. it makes me want to go get it. Like, that's why I'm so hyped to get after it in Nashville. And I'm going to prove Lurch wrong.
What's going on? You're going to
win
Nashville?
This $100.
You're going to Nashville?
Yep.
With his dad.
With my dad.
No.
Yeah.
You know about this.
We talked about this last week.
We talked about it on the show.
Actually, you might not be.
I knew he was going to Nashville. I didn't know when. I thought it was for a bachelor party.
No, he's going
to
Nashville.
You get sick or did you get brain cancer? Come on.
Hey, that's kind of funny. He's going to Nashville with his dad, and they're both going on the prowl together.
There's 0% chance you or Maury have sex this weekend.
It's actually more likely Maury has sex than Adam. But
yeah. Here's what's going to happen. More likely. Those two skinflints are going to sleep in the same bed because they got a cheap hotel room. Yeah, that's who's going to be sleeping together.
Adam's going to try and rub one out real quick while his dad gets a cup of coffee in the morning.
All right. So you and your dad are going to Nashville. You guys are both single men?
Yeah. Tomorrow morning.
Okay. What's the occasion?
My dad's, it's a big birthday for my dad. So we wanted to do a father-son trip together.
Apparently they've been talking about doing a father-son trip for a while now.
Yeah.
And then Maury selected Nashville as the destination.
Is that just because he's like a horny old man and he wants to go and try to pick up a bunch of bachelorettes?
He's heard a lot about, you know, the music down there and, you know, he's a tour guide and everyone keeps talking about Nashville's the new Vegas. And
Nashville's a hot place. We talked about
that. I know it is. Are you guys flying or driving?
We're flying.
Okay. And are you have plans to ditch your dad, like when you're on Beale Street or whatever it is? Maybe
Broadway?
Beale Street,
I think
Memphis.
I think it's Broadway.
No, I mean, I'm gonna stick with my dad until about 9 p.m. when he goes to sleep. Then I'm going to step back out for a late night drink.
For that's when you were going to try to.
That's when I think I have my best chance.
But what's going to happen when you bring a girl back and you see Maury?
I got to either go to her place or fork out the money for a new hotel.
Hooked up to the sleep apnea machine.
Come on in. Here's my elderly father sleeping on the couch here.
He looks like a fighter pilot.
It'd be butt funny. But my dad is kind of smooth with girls. Like he's always been good with waitresses.
He always makes those flirty comments.
Always, yeah.
Is that because he thinks he has a shot with him?
No, I just think he's my dad loves to talk. You know, he's always loves to talk.
Have we only met his dad two times?
I think. Yeah.
We met him once at the Nats game, and then once when he came in here, right?
Yeah. Correct. Oh my God, my dad won't shut up about that.
About what?
He thinks he's a celebrity because he was on the Junks Christmas show.
What, he still talks about?
He still talks about it all day, every day. He came on my radio show for Father's Day, mm-hmm. little Father's Day bit, and he was like, you know, I was kind of nervous. He said, the only time I wasn't nervous is when I was on the Junks. But that's probably because they gave me 5 drinks.
I'm sure we had to loosen him up beforehand. all right. Well, I hope you have a good time. I hope that you do find some young lady out there. Yeah,
but we dove into that last week, though, about him and doing a father-son poning trip. It was very weird.
That is weird. Makes me uncomfortable.
But I actually think that this sexless study that we did on mm-hmm. the Junkies, I actually think it's because porno has gotten so good lately.
Well, that's what I said on the show, but it's more of I think it's just an addiction problem. I think probably 85% of guys out there are full-blown addicted to pornography.
I think sex is always going to be number one, but porno has just gotten so good that you can basically order up any type of girl you want on the internet. If you're into big butts, you can find a big butt lady. If you're into certain types of boobies.
Well, here's what we said. The result is the same, right?
At the end of the day, the finish is the.
Now you don't get to go brag to your friends about it, but but you still, you know, the job is completed and it's a lot less expensive, and you get to go back to playing video games a few minutes later. Right? That's at least the goal, and then I could definitely see that, especially if you're older. You know, you're young, you're 20s, your early 20s. You got to get out. You got to experience life a little bit. But if I was single again, I would have zero desire to go out and like to bars and go to. By the way, that guy, he nailed it. The listener that called in that is going out to Manassas and taking meeting women out there. We talked about that after the show. I was talking about it with CK again. I don't know why you won't do that. That is your hot spot.
I know. I said that too.
Velocity and all the places he was naming in Manassas. Yes,
Velocity. You should go to Velocity Wings in Manassas. We have a listener. His name is Jeff. He's a P1. He's been involved in restaurant and bar ownership. He runs Cagezilla. He's a good guy. Listens to everything the junkies do. I know this guy would set you up with bar tabs out there. He was the guy that was like running Kevin and Rock back in the day, like putting them in bars, and they were like minor celebrities out there. You should go out to these bars in Manassas.
Yeah, all that money that you save up, you can Uber back and forth.
Yeah, no, I would definitely get a ride. My thing is, none of my friends want to go to Manassas. They literally joan about Manassas.
We make fun
of Loudon all the time. Only losers live in Loudon.
You need to go to Hard Times Cafe in Manassas by yourself. Pull up to the
bar. Cincinnati Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, what? Who cares about your friends? Yeah. Why don't you just go solo?
Are you kidding me? That's so tough.
Or hello, we have a lot of listeners.
Yeah,
the junkies.
You want me to go with a listener?
No, just tweet that you'll be there, and I guarantee you someone will come up and say hi.
I'll tell you what will happen, because this has happened to me before in Clarendon and in Shirlington. I tweet that I'm going out, and then I get 4 or 5 30-year-old dudes come up to me, and no chicks.
That's fine.
That's fine
for you guys to talk to, and make you feel at ease a little bit.
Icebreakers.
And then you guys start talking to chicks. Now, here's the problem. It's always been the problem. Your standards, way too high. You need a good Prince William County woman. She's probably divorced, extra weight on her, a little bit smoked cigarettes.
You know, Fauquier screams to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Fauquier County.
Yeah. The further out, the better. That's what you need.
He needs a wake-up call.
He really does. And I think that...
I would love...
You understand something. Cowboy Todd... Who's the biggest donk on the planet? Very entertaining.
You love him.
Oh way God. Better looking than you, though. I'll give him that. But his teeth are all messed up. Yeah, and, you know,
the beard
he's been chewing for 100 years. He's got a bunch of black teeth. His wife is beautiful. I'm pretty sure he met her at a bar out in Fauquier County, somewhere out there where he lives or used to live. Because there are good-looking women out there, a bunch of dummies that live out in the hills out there. You're a rock star.
I guess, yeah.
You got to get out of Clarendon.
He's never going to do it. Look,
at least go to Springfield.
No, he's not open to it. Listen to him. He's not open. I know he's not going to do it, and we're just wasting our breath.
I know. We told him this. We've been telling him this for 5 years.
I'm going to try it.
No, he's not.
All right. You let us know when you try it, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Never.
Right. I thought there was a lot of discussion this week that got the guys fired up, and it was a little bit surprising. I can't even remember how it came up. I'm pretty sure it was an article that we put in there about the top chain restaurants.
Everyone's favorite chain restaurants. Eric was going on about Salmon and Famous Dave's.
Yeah, Famous Slaves, yeah.
And then Outback and how he loves going to Outback. So they have this some weird didgeridoo salmon with shrimp on top that he loves. And we're talking about...
He's really crestfallen about the Famous Dave shut down at Chantilly.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Outback was Eric's number one go-to.
Oh, I did.
I didn't realize that salmon was his go-to.
Well, him and Lurch always eat salmon. What I can't imagine, he said he'd want salmon over anything else. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
I think people only eat salmon because, you know, it's okay and they're looking for healthy options. Yeah. Nobody chooses salmon... If you have pick of the litter over a cheeseburger,
yeah,
I would never barbecue place
or a
nice piece of chicken.
I'll be honest, I don't really like barbecue either.
Who doesn't like barbecue?
I know it's blasphemous. Okay, I should say this. I'm with EB. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
See, you've never had good barbecue.
I've had good barbecue. I live out in Loudoun County. There's plenty of good barbecue places. Now, here's the thing. I didn't eat barbecue growing up. We grilled all the time.
No, it's a Pacific Northwest thing.
It might be. Yeah. No, because there's people I don't think my dad likes it. So we never ate it growing up. We never like went to a barbecue restaurant.
You never had really good brisket.
I actually do like brisket. I like brisket. I despise ribs. I will never eat ribs the rest of my life.
Oh, that's crazy. Ribs, spare ribs, all silly.
It's shocking because I love ribs.
I'm not doing a Grant Paulson thing or like a vomit. I just would never order it. Too messy.
Yeah, exactly. You're such a loser. If you're fingers aren't dirty and your lips aren't dirty, you're not eating right.
First of all, your fingers are always dirty. Yeah, I've seen your fingers.
I've never seen dirtier nails in my life.
They're so gross.
And by the way, every day I reach my fingers into a chewing tobacco, my nails are less dirty than yours.
Some of the sides are so overblown. Collard greens, bitter,
so good.
Yuck, disgusting, literally dog food.
You mean you don't like mac and cheese?
No, mac and cheese is fine. Everybody likes mac
and
cheese.
You don't like potato salad?
All, why does barbecue get mac and cheese? Is that an exclusive to barbecue?
No.
Okay, then that's an American. That's just an American dish.
Yeah,
so barbecue is American also.
There's nothing more American than barbecue and ribs. And then you know what? You don't like. This is what you don't get, is that the process of barbecuing.
I know. You sit around with your buddies drinking Bush Light. That's how people
10 hours.
I know, but everyone's got to go to the barbecue restaurant and
then the sauces. Oh, the exotic sauces.
Look, it's fine. I'll go to Mission Barbecue every once in a while when I'm craving brisket.
Uh-huh.
It's fine, but it's never like blown me away. Green beans. Just awful. I mean,
who doesn't like green beans?
Who raves about eating green beans?
What about coleslaw?
Coleslaw, mediocre at best. Just a goop of mayonnaise and lettuce or cabbage or whatever it is. So when you think about it, doesn't sound that great. Cornbread, spectacular. Okay, yeah. I'll give you cornbread.
I mean, I just completely disagree with you, man.
Baked beans. I mean, what am I, a cowboy? Okay. Baked beans are disgusting. All right, just slop from a can.
What about the smoke rings?
What are smoke rings?
It was when you're smoking hog or brisket. You when you cut it, you can see the ring of smoke that is that cooks the meat, and then you can taste the smokiness of it.
I guess you'll have to point it out to me.
All right,
next
what about crackling? You like crackling? That's like the skin of the pig.
Pork rinds.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful.
Right. What about pork tenderloin? And then the pork shoulder, the pork butt, the hams. Have you ever cooked a whole pig?
No.
There's nothing more manly than cooking.
You've cooked a whole pig?
What have you cooked a whole pig?
We've cooked a whole pig before.
When?
At a tailgate, at a Terps tailgate.
No, someone else did, and you showed up. You didn't cook a pig.
We were sitting around. I was part of the process.
You were drinking the Bush Light.
Of cooking the pig.
You don't even have a grill.
I flipped it over. We had the chicken wire on the pig. We did all of that.
All right,
whole hog. Okay, whole hog.
Sitting around with your buddies, okay, at a Ravens game in a parking lot. Okay, I've done that with you. That's a good time. Going just, you know, it just, it's a little, I'm with EB, it's a little bit overrated in my opinion.
I just think you're such a girl with the fact that, like, you don't like to get messy when you eat.
Yeah, that's actually the worst excuse ever. I don't like barbecue sauce because it's too sweet, or I don't like the texture of pulled pork. But your excuse that I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Well, I know why. It's because his lips are already so big, he doesn't want to bring more attention to them.
No, yeah, that's not it.
Sauce all over.
Yeah, right.
The juice is not worth the squeeze. If you and I mentioned cheeseburgers. If you get me a nice double cheeseburger and I take a bite out of it and all the trimmings come out the side, run all over my fingers. That's awesome. The meat juice and the mayonnaise. Love that because it tastes amazing. It's worth the mess. For chicken wings and ribs for me are not. All right?
Oh, even wings?
Wings actually above ribs. I'll never, ever get that sloppy sauce on a wing. If I have to, if it's wing night or something, give me a dry rub.
Oh, no, you can do that with ribs. You can have a beef rib, and you can do a dry rub on a beef rib.
Yeah, those are okay.
His kids are going to be picky eaters. I know it.
Well, so you just don't like barbecue sauce. I don't like barbecue sauce.
I don't like all the fixings.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, don't put down barbecuing when you don't like the sauce.
I'm not making a case for this. I know I'm in the minority, but EB seems to agree with me a little bit. But I don't know why he liked Famous Dave so much.
This is just him sucking up to EB again.
No,
I trash EB all the time.
No, you like Famous Dave because you got like Nikki and the two Jacks.
I went with EB to Famous Dave's one time. Yeah. It was so depressing. Okay,
dimly lit was it?
No wonder the place is boarded up. There was EB and one other old man in there sitting at the bar. Okay, and Nikki.
What was Nikki like?
she was fine. She looked like she was a waitress that had been in the service industry for about 30 years. You know, very sweet. She knew what she was doing. Very conversational. I wouldn't go back for Nikki. Like, it didn't. But again, right next door to it is my favorite chain restaurant, Red Robin. I'm a big Red Robin guy. I used to work there when I was a kid or when I was in college.
What about Red Robin appeals to you the most?
I think A, it has the best burgers, and B, not ever. Just, I mean, very like.
It has, well, a good, has a good burger.
It's a
quality
good burger.
Burger every time you go, no matter where the Red Robin is.
Exactly. And
right. I think that's a great.
And the bottomless
feature.
Fries.
Do they still have the volcano onion rings?
I haven't been in a while, but I haven't been to any chain restaurant in a while, so I'm not quite sure. But I do love the bottomless fries at Red Robin, but I'm on to them. It used to be a big basket, burger and the fries. Now they give you this little tiny cup because they know, like, marketing-wise, they can't take away the bottomless fries because people freak out. Uh-huh. So they just give you, like, five fries.
So they have a Dixie cup full
of
fries.
Yeah, it's enraging. Just give me the basket of fries, please.
What do you... What did you think of me standing out and trumpeting the fact that Texas Roadhouse is the best?
You know what?
Chain restaurant.
Texas Roadhouse might be better than Red Robin.
Texas Roadhouse is an elite chain restaurant. And I have an affinity for Texas Roadhouse because it was the first chain restaurant in Pasadena, Maryland.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal when it came because it took over this old ma-and-pa restaurant called, I think it was called Burgers back in the day.
Yeah.
And then Texas Roadhouse came when I was a little tyke, and I have great memories of my dad waiting in line with me and my brother, Michael Myers.
Picking out a steak?
Yeah. Well, no, we were the third people ever in that Texas Roadhouse.
Oh, really? Did they give you, like, free Texas Roadhouse for a year every week?
No, but my dad went around lying to everyone saying we were the first. Oh, yeah. It was for bragging rights.
He bumped that up a little bit.
He bumped those numbers
Did
up.
You guys camp out?
We were outside for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it opened at like an 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. I think my dad called out. My dad
took
called
you out of school.
I think my dad took me out of school and he called out of work.
You know, that's a good dad.
And we were in line, and I'll never forget this, is that my dad said it. He said, you get anything you want. And I got some 20-ounce porterhouse.
Nice.
At noon on a Tuesday.
Hey, let me tell you, Texas Roadhouse was a great atmosphere. Their butter on those dinner rolls.
The cinnamon butter. Oh, it's
I mean,
heavenly.
How do you even make that so taste so good? It might be one of the best things on earth.
You want to know what my family does on Thanksgiving?
Texas Roadhouse.
I'm guessing you do something cheap and you just got to steal some from them.
We go to the Texas Roadhouse.
Okay.
All right. And they have all of those rolls that are sitting on the edge waiting for pickup and for everyone to take to the hostess to take to the seat.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad go and they ask for more butter. All right. And they just get a bag full of butter and bring it back to our house for our rolls.
For free?
For free on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Well, they do it like the day before, and we'll keep it in the fridge.
So the Wednesday before
Tuesday.
All the, you know, people are back at the bar visiting their high school friends. Yep. You're up there. Your parents are at
my parents will make a stop in, and they'll go grab free butter from Texas
Roadhouse. But they definitely eat dinner there, right? They just don't walk up to and ask for butter when they walk in. Like, they make a stop and eat dinner.
No. They go in, and my dad will, like, have a beer or something.
Yeah.
And then they'll just get butter on the way out.
That is trashy. The guy goes, what do you need butter for? You just got a Coors Light here.
No, I think, say, oh, I'm taking some rolls home.
No, okay. I might have to try that.
Yeah, just go get the butter.
Yeah.
Because you can get cinnamon butter or honey cinnamon butter at, like, your local Safeway. But it's just not the same.
Do you know that earlier this week, I went home and I told my wife after that discussion on the air, I said, you know what? We don't go out enough. Why don't we go to a restaurant this weekend? A nice family restaurant. Someplace we could take the girls. You pick.
Family restaurant's code for
chain. Code for chain restaurant.
Yeah.
I'm not taking advantage of chain restaurants.
I love
people sleep on them.
I love chain restaurants.
They're awesome.
All food is the same there.
Yep.
Right? So it's not like you're going to get, if you know what you want, you're not going to get a bad cut of beef. So the menu's the same. So it's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't understand the hate.
You're not
going to
spend $100 You're gonna have a nice full meal.
You get an appetizer, two sides, and a big old entree for $14.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Hey, I told you earlier this week, I'll tell the listeners, you mentioning Texas Roadhouse coming to Pasadena. The big restaurant that came to Tri-Cities when I was in high school that let us know that we finally made it. We had been to this place in Seattle. Everybody had been to it and Spokane, but it hadn't quite franchised out to all the mid-level cities. We knew that we had made it when they opened up an Olive Garden in Kennewick.
Let me tell you. Breadsticks.
Dude. That was the first one.
It had to be the classiest Olive Garden in America. There's a brick facade on the outside.
Some fake wine cellar wallpaper.
Exactly. That place was popping for years. People couldn't stop talking about the Olive Garden and the free breadsticks.
Do you think Carrabba's has outdone Olive Garden now?
I don't know. I think they're about the same, but people always just crap on Olive Garden. And to call it, you know, like a Nubs microwave pasta restaurant or whatever. I don't care.
I've always thought Olive Garden's pasta is good.
I actually like Olive. What's the place? Ray Romano's or whatever it's called. Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Yeah, Romano's.
Yeah. That place, Olive Garden, better than that place.
There is a Macaroni Grill. That's another place. There was one in Fairfax a while ago.
I think there was. Adam, what is your go-to chain restaurant?
I'm willing to stand on the table for this.
Is this just some place Divorce Maury took you?
No. Like, we've been going my entire life. You're annoying.
Sorry.
you're also a baby, so you're going to appreciate this. I know you love boneless chicken wings. All right? Chicken nuggets.
No, basically. I just talked about the sauce.
I don't love them, but boneless greater than.
You like you boneless greater than boned in. I used to be the same. Growing up, Chili's has the best boneless chicken wings, buffalo sauce. It's unbelievable. That was my favorite place growing up. We would go there all the time. When my sister got good grades, we would go to Chili's.
Yeah. Straight. Hey, baby, you get straight A's this course semester. I'll take you to Chili's. You know, that's about funny.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
Hey, you know what? I can't hate on Chili's.
I can't hate on Chili's either. What don't they have, like, the
the Chili Sizzler, whatever that thing is called.
The fajita sizzler, I think, right?
Well, for an appetizer, that's the thing I get.
And then they have like the $5 apps or two for one apps.
No, they'll bring you out tortilla chips, and then they'll bring you out a cast iron sizzler with Velveeta cheese and chili, and it's so steaming hot. You dip your chips in there.
That sounds so good.
It is good.
Chili's is the best.
And there was a Chili's in Tempe right on the corner. That was like where all the students went on to like celebrate.
Yeah, there was a Chili's at VCU too, and they accepted student dollars.
Yeah, I think that's probably why.
Oh my God, it was the best.
You know why Chili's is a cut above some of the other chain restaurants?
Why is that?
And if you're a chain restaurant and you do this, you know, props to you, is that they pull out 24-ounce beers.
Oh, they do. Yeah. They pour them big.
Yeah, the big pours.
Big and tall.
Yeah. They disrespect 12-ounce pours.
All right. So if we're talking about our favorite chain restaurants, what is a Nubs one? What's one that you just, either the people like? It's got to be a sit-down.
I mean, I would have said Olive Garden.
You hate Olive Garden?
I do not like Olive Garden. I think the pasta's plain.
Let me see. I like, let's see, I'm trying to think of a, give
I'll start, tell you, start, I don't start, like TGIF. Oh, I can't stand
Fridays.
I kind of like Fridays.
It's
kind of Nubs. One that I actually, people rave about, and it's a little, this is high class. It's almost unfair, I think, to put it in the chain restaurant category. And I've only been to it one time in my life. It's Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, Cheesecake Factory's bazilli.
I think Cheesecake Factory's silly.
I heard the menu is just massive.
Well, that's what makes it awesome.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about it.
But don't you just think about, like, the menu's so big, there's just a bunch of rotting food sitting in the back?
No, I think you're on an island with this. Cheesecake Factory, silly.
Yeah, there's so much to eat there. Well, and they have the silly dessert menu.
Carrabba's is silly.
I'll say the nubbiest one, and you can put in, and I don't think it has a lot to do with chicken wings, but the experience should be awesome, but Buffalo Wild Wings is just a toilet bowl of a restaurant.
Buffalo Wild Wings, I think you might have hit on something.
Yeah, always the worst service.
Is the worst place on earth.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Just slippery, rubbery wings.
Yeah.
The every staff member feels like they hate you for being there.
Yep, exactly.
Seafood chain restaurants are usually really bad too, like Legal Seafood and.
I think Legal Seafood.
I think Legal Seafood is silly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and Longhorn is nubs.
Longhorn, so nubs.
So nubs.
Yeah, a wannabe Roadhouse.
It's
all right. What about this? Would you consider Dave and Buster's a restaurant?
Dave and Buster's selling.
I guess it is.
That's a great date spot.
It is if you're like 19. Actually, I took my wife there for a date a couple years ago.
Yeah. I get sized for Dave and Buster's.
I think I got a Dave and Buster's card in my wallet.
Is their food any good?
It is pretty good.
It's fine. It's nothing. Nothing's gonna blow you away.
It's pretty good bar food.
Hey, do you want to? You want to hear a Valdez memory of a chain restaurant?
I love these things.
All right. This was when, oh my god, I was probably 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I just actually 23, 22. I just got hired full time. All right, by CBS Radio.
Okay.
All right. I was living with my parents at the time. All right.
Living at home, high
on life.
Mm-hmm.
Had zero friends in Pasadena because everybody else, I was working in DC. Just my friends were down here, but I was living up with my parents. And I finally got hired full time with CBS Radio, making a whopping $28,000 a year.
There we go. Yeah. Big time.
The good old days. You know what I did as soon as I got that call and I got that email from CK and Sam Rogers and I'm trying to think of the other guy.
Michael Hughes. Where'd you go to celebrate?
I went to celebrate at Carrabba's, and I got the lobster ravioli.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. That's a big night.
I remember I was sitting there by myself. It was probably, and I just got the news, and it was probably 4 o'clock. Nobody was eating, but that's what time I had to eat because I had to wake up at 3 in the morning to make it from Pasadena to Fairfax, and I was by myself celebrating, eating lobster ravioli. That's why Carrabba's will always have a special place in my heart.
Carrabba's is special to me for the junkies because that's where Lurch always wanted to go on the Florida trips, and I enjoyed those dinners with the guys. Hopefully we can do them again soon. But he went through a phase, I know listeners remember, for like a couple of years where he was like obsessed with Carrabba's on these dumb Florida trips. Yeah. So we definitely went a couple of times.
Then that
kind of
turned into Bonefish, right?
They're owned by the same. Owned by the same group.
What do you guys think of Outback Steakhouse and the Bloomin' Onions? Because that's a top seed in my
Bloomin' Onions. Good, but Texas Roadhouse has their own Bloomin' Onion. I think it tastes better.
Oh, it takes the. Oh, it really? Just pummels it.
Oh, it pummels it. We as the Valdez family used to get a Bloomin' Onion for family dinners at Texas Roadhouse.
Why don't we all go to a chain restaurant this weekend? All right, like I sell on my wife and share our experiences or within the next two weeks.
I thought you meant like together.
No. I don't want to see you guys on the weekend.
I know. I don't want to see you.
Adam's going to Nashville. All right. Yeah. One of the other things we got to talk about that just jumped out at me, and we're talking too much about us. Let's get back to the guys.
Sorry.
Let's talk about EB's fascination with marathons and EB not caring about anybody's goals in life and achievements.
If anyone has any kind of achievement in life, he just short sells it.
He really does. He really doesn't care. He clonks out of here with his untied sneakers and he, you know, he doesn't really care that
much. The only interaction he'll give you is on social media and he'll say, nice.
Nice. He's not easily impressed.
No.
But for some reason, and this was tilting me on Sunday, he's doing minute by minute, play by play of JP's marathon.
The fact that Eric Bickle was looking up JP and Chris Farley's bib numbers to see the times and see the splits was outrageous.
And EB's, he's a good athlete. That's why I was kind of bagging on marathons a little bit on Monday.
I feel like all of us in one way or another are more athletic than the average person. Would you agree?
I think
even
that's
Adam,
fair.
Even Adam, I would say, is more athletic than the average person.
Adam's average.
Okay.
Not on the tennis court, Ricky.
Right. Hey, you did beat me in tennis. I feel like
anyone has any kind of average athletic ability, they can run.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
You can train yourself. You just have to commit yourself, right?
Right. It's sticking. You know, if you can stick to a schedule,
you don't even have to train yourself that long to become good at, say, basketball. You have to train for years and years and years, and have some motion, muscle memory,
and have
run a marathon in 3 months.
Right.
Right?
Right. You don't need any kind of gift from God unless you want to win the marathon.
I saw pictures of these guys running the New York City Marathon, right? And bunch of beer bellies, bunch of old guys.
Right. Eric talks about his fat brother who runs. Right. Who's run 5 marathons.
Yeah.
And you know what made me disrespect it? Is when I saw the viral video online on like Barstool Sports of a duck running.
I saw that.
The duck running. Or what about the woman?
Running in costumes all that costumes. Stuff.
What about the woman that finished the marathon and took her 10 hours or something like that? And she had arthritis and had to stop.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it.
Well, you know what blew me away with the whole marathon conversation is I didn't know this from Junk's history, that Cakes ran a marathon. You're telling me that
Cakes?
Fatso ran a marathon?
Whoa. Every once in a while, it's going to slip up. It's going to get back to him. For all you haters out there, go ahead and quote Money Metal Cakes on Twitter.
Go narc on Adam.
I mean, wow. I think anything is possible now.
You know, did you know Cakes?
Cakes was silly.
Yeah, Cakes is like the most athletic marathon runner out of all
the
jumps.
Well, that's actually part of the problem. Cakes... athletically, as we demonstrate again today, has no balance.
Lost to Adam in basketball.
Yeah, he's below average, I would say. But even Cakes, in his heyday, when he was probably my age, late 30s, early 40s, he trained with Chris Farley. He lost a bunch of weight, and he looked awesome. And he ran a great marathon time, I believe.
Right, because Cakes has a resting heart rate of like 58.
Yeah.
That, I think we discovered that.
Yeah.
You know, and I also disrespect it because I trained with Farley and I did a tough mutter.
You did?
Yes.
You did? That sounds so hurting.
What? I did. All my buddies wanted to do
it. You probably still have mud in your dong.
That's an awful thing.
Yeah. What a terrible thing. Hey.
So that's why I disrespect running. Because I'm no runner and I hate running, but I was still able to do it because I stuck to a schedule.
I will say this. It is not easy. Running a marathon is, I will never say it's easy. The training to get up to that, unbearable, right? Like your heart's burning. I'll go for a run today. If I go for a run, I could run a mile and my heart's going to be burning at the end of that mile and I'm going to be wheezing all over the place.
Sucking in that cold air.
Exactly. Like, it will suck. I'm not pretending like I'm some great long distance runner. But I know that given time, if I committed myself, I could do this great achievement that people say is, you know, you got to do it once in your life. You got to run a marathon.
I think you should put the money where the mouth is. I mean, you're doing a lot of talking. There's no way that you could actually.
No, I don't want to.
No, but I don't think you could stick to a schedule to prepare for a marathon. You need too much drab time.
That's probably not. That's why I disrespect it. Maybe a bunch of bored guys getting away from their families, going out and running. Yeah.
Running away from the problems.
Exactly. If you're a runner out there, don't hate me. Yeah. I'm just.
But it is kind of funny. I mean, last week you were joning on yourself for being overweight, mm-hmm. but now you're saying a marathon is easy.
You're not listening.
You're not.
A marathon's butt hard. I just don't think it's
more
great athletic achievement.
The hardest part about a marathon is finding the time to train for it.
What about a triathlon then? Like if you had to do the biking and swimming.
Well, biking's a joke.
The fact that EB talks about how much he's biking nowadays.
You go for a bike ride.
Buns are made of steel because I'm riding that bicycle. Bunch of BS. Yeah.
Now, swimming 2.5 miles, I'll say this. Swimming 2.5 miles from the beginning, butt hard, that's another thing. You just got to train to do it. Yes. And they do it at the beginning so you don't drown. Cycling's, I mean, honestly, I tell you this right now. I could get on a bicycle and bike 112 miles. Okay. Now, I wouldn't be going at the speed these guys are going. But you're just coasting.
No, but there is a difference from what Brian Mitchell is doing biking and what EB is doing for biking.
Oh yeah, well Brian Mitchell, yeah, he
has the thin wheels and he's got the track suit and drafting over people.
Yeah,
and
he's like in a group running cars off the road. He's doing all that kind
EB,
of stuff.
EB's got a Huffy with with big tires and a helmet.
Right,
it's totally different.
Yeah, so I was surprised on Sunday night watching EB live tweet the marathon results. That's going to be my tilt of the week.
It's also because deep down, Drabby is vying for EB's attention and love.
Ooh, we both of us are.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
and it's tilting because Drab's just trying to get noticed so much, and he's not getting noticed. That's why it's his big tilt of the week.
I'll give you that. Adam, what was your tilt of the week?
My tilt of the week was EB's depressing drives to New York and the fact that he just sings country music songs over and over. Yeah,
country music of EB is so tilting.
The fact that you let him sing on air for 20 seconds, I had to turn off the road.
That was the worst EP in history. First of all, I knew it was going to be bad because I saw the stack of piles, and Valdez put in a Rocky IV story.
Okay, so Sly Stallone almost died training
Rocky IV. Rocky Stallone went to the hospital.
I think
during,
it was Rocky IV, not five.
Yeah, anyways. Rocky IV. Rocky almost goes to hospital during shooting of Rocky IV. I'm like, this is the worst EP.
So I'm trying to find something that bonds EB to the entertainment page.
I know.
Makes him excited, because my tilt of the week is when Eric shares these great stories, like him dribbling in his pants during the EP. I mean, that should be its own segment.
It should have been its own segment.
I know, but I'm trying to find something that EB's into, and lately EB has been into country music. I don't know how it started. I don't know where it started, but the CMAs were last night, and I go, oh, you know what? Maybe Eric will comment on Eric Church or Chris Stapleton.
What percentage of our listeners do you think are country music fans in this metropolis that we live in?
I don't know.
Okay.
30%.
Yeah, 30%.
Not even.
Do you think?
Probably 15%. It wants to be because we got a strong signal out in Percival.
I mean, it's so hurt.
Trust me, WMZQ ratings would be through the roof if country was popular.
But it's more about like the fact that like he's just doing, he just sounded so lonely on the road.
See, that's also another thing is that Eric's getting into this weird depression.
Oh, what?
Right, we gotta get him out of this funk.
And a lot of country music is depressing. You know, like my dog died the other day.
The football team is depressing. He's really depressed right now. He's at home with he's missing two of his kids.
Yeah, I called him out on it earlier in the week. I said,
you're being all moody.
He was being all mopey and stuff. And everyone was laughing. He was just kind of zoning out.
But I was trying to get Eric into it because
they're so slow and you know, boring for a radio show. Hey, let's listen to 20 seconds of this country song.
Eric,
talk
Eric
about
is,
Morgan Wallen.
Eric is slowly becoming Don Imus.
You think so?
Yeah, with his 10-gallon hat and a ranch. And sooner or later, he'll have a ranch.
Hey, you should listen to the Junkies. They're really cutting edge, and they're just getting wild. Oh, yeah? What are they talking about today? Oh, they played Eric Church songs for 30 seconds at a time.
Yeah, by the way, don't let it go unnoticed that Jason is talking about Eric Church and how he loves Talladega. And
I know. Everything.
Probably he's one of his rich friends. Don't listen.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Yeah, country music EB, not a fan of.
I just, when did he start? When did he all of a sudden start?
A couple years ago, right? He knows somebody. He knows, like, a friend of his.
It must be big.
Has a child who's like an aspiring country singer.
Well, he does.
Who is it?
Parker McCollum.
Yeah, Parker McCollum. Yeah, yeah. How do you remember the name?
Because I remember everything.
Is Parker McCollum a big name?
He's a huge up and coming country star.
Yeah, so EB's like friends with Pete McCollum or something.
Parker's dad.
Yeah. And so that's how he got into him.
I just think he could be spending that time doing better things. You know, he could be, you know, calling his relatives.
Well,
like,
hold on, he's driving on these lonely drives. He's right. Going to see his kids play sports.
When I go on a long drive, I'm not going to listen to country music. I'm going to listen to something that gets me hype or a funny podcast. Or I'm going to call my friends joke around.
He said that today. First of all, grown men, they don't want to chat on the phone. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who wants to talk with you?
Yeah.
I'm butt funny.
Hey, I actually think Adam should get into country music.
Why? He's going to Nashville this week. It's going to be a great start for him.
Because we talk about Adam trying to hook up with all these chicks and everything. Mm-hmm. He needs to find like a group. Like a certain
a click,
a niche, or something like that.
Something to identify with.
Yeah. And he could get away with being Country Music Adam, where he's going to all these concerts out at Nissan Pavilion.
What was the one
tailgating, finding girls?
WMZQ Fest people would always go to?
He's not going to meet any chicks at country music. I mean, there are going to be women there, but he needs to be like roller derby Adam or something like that. You know, something more in his lane.
I like theorizing what Adam's lane is.
Astro World Adam.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing?
Hey, you're 0-2. Mud and Astro World.
At Nashville, Adam. All right, maybe you come back next Thursday dressed like they do in Nashville.
Honky Tonk Adam.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a try.
By the way, I think you need to dress in layers. I told you that.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I feel like layers make you fatter.
No. We need a haberdasher for Adam. A makeover.
A haberdasher.
You don't know Junkie's history.
Yeah. Haberdashery?
Cakes had a haberdasher.
Yeah, from Nordstrom. Yeah, well, I forget his name.
Really?
Hey, you need an overweight haberdasher, okay? Somebody knows how to style chubby guys.
I'd be willing to do it.
You know, these thin t-shirts, and they're just so floppy on you.
You know what he needs? He needs a flabberdasher.
A flabberdasher. I love it. That's a great. That's a funny thing.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Drab, I wanted to bring something up when we were talking about food.
Yeah.
Because you always talk about something from the Northwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say you guys are famous for this. So I went to the grocery store and I picked it up. And I want to rub it all over my body now. It was Tillamook provolone cheese. Oh my God.
Was it the best cheese you've had?
The best cheese I've ever had.
They're not even known for their provolone.
Oh my God, dude. I put like 4 slices on a sandwich. I couldn't get enough.
That's why you need a flabberdasher.
Hey, you know why it tastes so good?
Why?
Because it's a bunch of fatty milk in there.
Right? You use whole milk.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. I honestly.
Why is it better than Land O'Lakes?
I'm just partial to it because Tillamook is their creamery. Let me tell you, this is sad for Oregon. It's the number one tourist destination in Oregon.
I've had Tillamook ice cream before. It's good. But this is why I don't like University of Maryland has a creamery. Tastes just like Tillamook.
That's so insulting. No.
What do you mean? It tastes just like it.
You haven't had it recently.
Get out of here.
Why?
I know what he's doing. He's trying to do this Maryland thing to get under my skin again today.
I'm just saying, I've had creamery places, ice cream and stuff.
Right.
It's tasted the same as Tillamook.
This cheese was so good. I was sneaking out of my bed at midnight.
You think a bunch of apprentice college kids with your limp dick dairy program at University of Maryland can compete with one of the finest creameries in the world? The award-winning creamery?
I'm just saying the vanilla ice cream tasted similar.
Okay. I will give you this. You can have a better journalism school than Arizona State, okay? We had that argument on the show today. I'll give you that. Don't you dare say your dairy program is on the same level as Tillamook. Then I will get angry. All right. I love Tillamook. I'm for some reason, I'm very defensive of it.
Yeah. You hit a nerve out there.
I know how to push his buttons.
All right, well, hopefully, I don't know. I mean, we got the Washington game. If you're a bit seasoned fan, maybe you're hoping for a loss again this week as we get into more...
More shtick.
Yeah, so we got an email telling us that it's okay to start doing more shtick on the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or more, I should say, non-Washington football team stuff.
Like stories.
Stories or, other obviously Wizards and Capitals and stuff like that. But we can tell where the direction of the show might be moving here in the next few weeks. Also, we got to start planning the holiday drinking show.
No, it's getting close. I say after the Thanksgiving break, we need to draw names for Secret Santa.
Oh, your favorite bit. Oh, by the way, I wasn't here last week, and he just reminded me because Valdez, the planner, loves to draw the names early for Secret Santa because it's so important to him, right? And that's why we talked about it on the air. He needed to plan out and sold the show on how important Halloween was to him. And then we had a whole half hour discussion about it on Bit Season and on the Junks. And he came in with the laziest effing costume. Looked like he rolled out of bed and came straight in here. And they actually ruined Halloween for me. You ruined Halloween for me. I was so angry that I came in here, had a costume planned out, and all the other guys, you convinced all the other guys.
I told you.
And you printed out in the digital area over there a picture of your brother. And
I told you what I was going to do.
I know, but I
told you.
It was... It was the worst costume, and the pollsters on Twitter agreed. The Van Meter poll agreed. Didn't you, Adam? Didn't you think?
Here's the thing. Here's what it was.
People thought
it was
were
lazy.
Brett.
I know that.
Lazy.
They thought he was Brett because he was wearing a Sup Dog sweatshirt.
Because that's what I wear.
I know. It wricked me. Next Halloween, you.
Well, I didn't know we were going to do a whole poll about it.
Okay. EBS Sammy Sosa looked better than you.
He did. You were actually behind EB.
Oh, so, you know, you were behind EB.
No. Next Halloween, I want you to start planning your Halloween costume for next year, okay? I want you to blow us away.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh.
Did Brian Mitchell just tackle him into here?
Brian Mitchell just barged in the studio with Anthony. Jeez, I thought we were, like, under attack.
I know. My God.
That was terrifying.
I thought
that hasn't ever happened in all the years I've been here.
I actually thought there was an active shooter.
Oh, my God. Anthony, a producer for 980, just got tackled through the door by Brian Mitchell.
That's what happens when you work with a former professional athlete.
Oh, my God.
I like our games of Squid Burst a lot better.
Yeah, Squid Burst a lot better than whatever game they were just playing.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, next Halloween, don't tell anyone your costume. I want you to start planning it now and blow us away.
Well, then, why don't you...
And I'll get a new costume next year.
Why don't you head a Halloween planning committee?
Okay. All right.
And you help brainstorm costumes. And by the way, don't lighten up the fact that you wore...
DePompa.
No, I told you about it. I said that to you.
I know. I was a repeat.
Yeah. That's the fourth time you've worn that costume.
It's the second time
I've worn it. No, it's not. It's the fourth.
I'm going to tell you this. If you could pull it off, you could pull it off.
He looked like
Leo.
Let's talk about what Erin Hawksworth thought of my costume.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
All right.
Did you see what she said?
No.
In a public forum?
What did she say?
106.7 The Fan posted a picture on Instagram of all of us on Halloween. Yeah. Okay, go look at the comments. One of the top comments is from Erin Hawksworth, and it says, "Drab looks hot!" ! All right, Michael Myers didn't get the same kind of comment.
That's because she didn't understand it.
All right, but she understood my costume, and it clearly made an impression on her.
Well, she also probably hasn't seen the 50 pictures that you have of you in your costume from previous Halloweens.
That's true. She doesn't know that I dressed up before as Leo.
Do you still have food stains on it from Hordaween when you wore it?
Hey, let me tell you, what'd you think was in my costume bag? New costumes? I told you I have a costume bag that I pull out when needed, old costumes that I need. And that one went right back in it. I won't wear it next year. I will come up with something new for next year. All right. We'll have a new
I will put more effort into my costume, even though I told everyone what my costume was going to be.
Right.
All right. So I don't think there should be any ill will towards Michael Myers.
I just don't. What were you thinking? Like, why?
I was trying to make a great question.
It's an inside joke of an inside joke. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a Halloween costume that nobody understands.
Cakes understood it.
No, he actually didn't. I think you had to explain to him what it was.
All right. I promise to do better for my Halloween costume in 2022 if you promise to not wear a costume that's in your bag.
100%. I'll come up with something new.
All right.
Scout's honor.
But you guys do need to pat yourselves on the back because you actually got these four lazy schmucks to dress up for Halloween.
We did guilt them.
And it was silly. It was a great Instagram photo. It was good for social media.
Looked great on TV.
Yeah, it did.
Yep.
Good job, boys.
All right, let's end on that. Great week of shows this week. We will come back next week with episode 11. Hopefully some great content on the show. Thank you guys very much for tuning in this week. Don't forget to share it on social media.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at BitSeason.
You know what? It's great to have you back.
It's good to be back. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.